Connecticut has made natural hair discrimination illegal. We're getting an anthology of darkly comic feminist fables from Apple. And we're talking about the cancellation of the Disney animated film Nimona.
It's March 3rd, 2021. Hey friends, I'm Casey Rackham.
And I'm Zach Stafford. Welcome to BuzzFeed Daily. So Casey, I have a bop that I'd like to play for you.
Ooh,
are you
yes,
ready?
Yes, please.
All right, hit it.
Vaccine, I'm begging of you, please don't hesitate. Vaccine, because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late. I know I'm trying to be funny now, but I'm dead serious about the vaccine.
Wow, yes. I'm so glad that I knew that she got her vaccine, because at first my ears heard Maxine, and I was like, who's Maxine?
Who is this woman? No, that's Dolly Parton saying Vaccine, which is a play on the popular song Jolene, for those that are not paying attention. our dear Dolly Parton was vaccinated yesterday in my hometown of Nashville, Tennessee, at a university where all my family works, Vanderbilt, in a place, that building, I have been in that place. So I'm deeply connected to this moment for a variety
of reasons. I'm happy for you and for Dolly, both of you.
It's great. But you know what she proved to us most, as everyone's preparing to get their vaccines, because according to the White House, by May, every adult will have access to it if they'd like to, which means all of you should go do it. You should be wearing digital cutout sleeves. She gave us an alternative to needing to roll up your sleeves. You just wear a shirt that your shoulders are cut off. So
yeah, that already has the shoulder cut off. It's perfect. Okay, so moving on to other really good news, specifically good legislative news, the Connecticut Senate has passed the Crown Act, which will make natural hair discrimination in workplaces and schools illegal. Currently, the bill is sitting on Governor Ned Lamont's desk, and he's expected to sign it soon. Lamont wrote on Twitter, "This measure is critical to helping build a more equitable society, and I look forward to signing it into law in the coming days." Connecticut has now joined Virginia, California, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Colorado, and Washington as states officially prohibiting natural hair discrimination in schools and workplaces.
You know, Casey, I think this was a long time coming. I'm surprised it took this long to make this happen, because so many people, even myself included, I keep my hair so short because I was culturally brought up to say that, like, you have to have like the most least natural hair to get jobs or to be seen as, you know, viable in the workplace. And that's just not true. We need to change the culture. Like, we don't need to just be billionaires like Jay-Z to be allowed to wear our hair natural. Mm-hmm. So this is going to protect folks, which we love.
And you know what? I particularly love that it's not just in the workplace. I like that it's in schools, because, you know, not that I've experienced it, but, you know, I'm sure it's one thing to experience as an adult and an entirely different one to experience it as a child, when you might not even have the capabilities to express how you're feeling.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think it also validates their experiences in these schools by being like, you know what, when people make fun of my hair, that's not okay. That's not something I should just take. Like, I am protected. I should speak out. And people should be held accountable for making these comments, because just like the Dr. Seuss books, casual racism is no fun. No fun for anyone. All right. Meanwhile, Apple has greenlit Roar, a new series from the creators of Glow. You might remember Glow was unceremoniously canceled amid the pandemic. This new show is an anthology of, quote, darkly comic feminist fables, and will star Nicole Kidman, Alison Brie, Cynthia Erivo, and Merritt Weaver. The TV series is based on Cecilia Ahern's book of short stories of the same name, and Apple has ordered 8 half-hour episodes.
Do you know why I love this? It's like, I think, like, the perfect pettiness of it all is that Netflix canceled this. And so they're like, you know what? The creators are like, we're not even just going to take a new feminist show elsewhere. We're going to take Alison Brie with us.
Yep. They said, we're taking our things and we're going down to Apple, which has even more money than the Netflix. It has a lot of cash.
And I'm really excited, because I was really upset that it was canceled at Netflix, because if you really, someone did pull the data of like the most canceled shows on Netflix, and no surprise to anyone, it's women and people of color. And so thank you for your laugh.
It just reminds me, there's this academic, her name's Sophia Noble, and she has this book called The Algorithms of Oppression, and Netflix famously uses algorithms to predict next content plays. And it just makes me think of that, like, algorithmically, sure, it's saying like you should do these things, but you should like qualitatively be like, maybe this is not okay, maybe this is hurting people.
they do like Netflix does, like, gives you 2 seasons of something diverse, and they're like, on to the next. Let's cancel it. So I'm like, I am very excited to see this on Apple because, I mean, I love hearing female stories.
Yeah, and Apple's the queen of just greenlighting something for a long time but not bringing anything new. I.e. see Dickinson. They just keep paying for Dickinson over and over.
Dickinson's so great and gay.
Hailee Steinfeld said, I got my check, honey. I'm keeping my check. So there you go. Moving on, we need to talk about queer characters in movies and TV shows. Typically, they get sidekick treatment and mostly aren't the stars. But that was going to change with the upcoming Disney animated film Nimona. The central characters were queer, and there was even supposed to be a queer kiss.
But just as we were going to get that film, production was canceled by Disney. How and why did this happen? To hash this all out, we're talking with BuzzFeed News reporter Lauren Strapagale. She wrote the piece, Disney's first feature animated movie with queer leads may never be released. Hi, Lauren. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, happy to be here.
So can you give us a brief summary of what the movie Nimona was going to be about?
It's based on a graphic novel by Noelle Stevenson, and it's this really fun story about this shape-shifting girl with like a penchant for villainy and chaos who teams up with this super villain to seek sort of revenge and justice with like the so-called good guys. And it's sort of set in this medieval future world. And it's just like really funny and a good time.
So this sounds lovely. I do want to watch, but I cannot watch now because Disney is pulling the plug on this film. And, you know, they cited COVID-19 cuts as the reason behind this. But could there be more here? Because, you know, Disney doesn't like to do gay things and we all got our hopes up here.
Yeah. So basically the studio who's working on it, Blue Sky Studios, they were shut down apparently due to COVID cuts. They were the ones working on this film. So with that gone, it's really unclear what's going to happen with this film. Potentially could it be picked up by someone else? Maybe, but we just don't know. It looks canceled for now. And we don't know for sure if it has anything to do with the content of the film, but it would have been a huge groundbreaking moment to have a Disney animated feature-length film that had queer characters. And there was, from what I've been told by employees, going to be like a very explicitly queer relationship. Like there'll be a kiss, there'll be an I love you. Like it would not be coded the way you see often in Disney movies.
But you know what, like Zach said, it's not a surprise that we have questions about like, what is the real reason behind this? Because the first thing that came to mind for me was Disney Plus originally had Love, Victor, which was the spinoff from the feature film Love, Simon. And then that got shut down for them. It got picked up elsewhere, but it was kind of like, what's the reason behind that? So it's like all these things keep happening and we're like, the common thread is gay.
I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask, was Disney afraid to release an explicitly queer, not just with like a little background character, but like especially queer leads in a movie? Because we saw in the past, like remember the Beauty and the Beast remake where LeFou was, I guess, gay kind of for a minute. And that prompted boycotts. That prompted movie theaters saying they're not going to run it. People were furious with Disney. And that was over a minuscule tiny bit of representation.
Yeah, and that was with Josh Gad, right? He was playing LeFou, who was even a straight person. So people were mad at a straight man kind of being gay. I'm over this. That's so dumb.
Yeah, I mean, that sums it up pretty well. Yeah.
I'm also over it, but the show is not yet. We'll be right back to talk about Disney's recent history with queer characters.
Welcome back. We're talking with Lauren Strapagale about Disney's cancellation of Nimona. All right, so Disney has a mixed track record when it comes to queer characters, as we've already discussed, because most of them have only been sidekicks or appeared in shorts. But Nimona was supposed to be a breakthrough with a queer lead and even a queer kiss. So what would it take for this project to continue moving forward? Can it have a shelf life at Disney?
I mean, it would take another studio owned by Disney. I mean, they own a million things. Someone could pick it up potentially. They also have the option to sell what's been worked on so far to someone else who may want to pick it up. So yes, is there a possibility it will be revived technically? But it looks unlikely right now. But I have seen, you know, on Twitter, people tweeting like, save Nimona, release Nimona. So there is, you know, some support for this seeing life in some way.
And is there an opposite reaction to this? Have we seen like a million moms come out and say this should not be happening? Because surprisingly, you know, I like to keep up on the queer backlash. You know, that's part of my job. And I had not heard any anger at this film being in production before. But since we're now talking about it more, are we seeing the right care more about it?
Well, I think what's interesting is although it has been known this has been in production and I've seen it covered on some sort of more niche fan sites, for example, there wasn't like a huge publicity campaign about it yet. They weren't talking about it very publicly. So I don't think most people knew. And the other thing is with the graphic novel, like they have options to, you know, and how they're going to interpret it for the film. They could choose to make the queerness subtle or non-existent, but they purposely made the choice to make it explicit. And I think that's relatively new information. And I think if this film were to come out under Disney, you would see backlash for sure.
So what does this say about the potential for future queer leads in Disney? I mean, are they committed to having a queer lead or is that just not really the case?
It's disappointing, isn't it? Like this would have been, I think, to me, I see this as an opportunity and maybe they didn't. There was a Pixar short called Out, which featured a gay male couple. That was a big deal. It was released on Disney Plus. So it's not like we're talking like a big theatrical release. So that's something, but clearly they're taking very much baby steps when it comes to queer representation. Like we see that. And plus we know Disney has this long history of like queer coding villains and all those classic cartoons. So it all feels like too little too late, but I guess they're going to keep trying.
I was going to say, I'm so glad you bring up the villains because it's very well known if you are within the queer community that your representation is Ursula, it is Jafar, it is Scar. And Disney has never winced once at making the bad people gay. But now that we're asking them to make the good people gay or queer, there seems to be a struggle. And that just continues to disappoint me personally a lot.
And the only thing I can like that I'm really thinking about right now is like, okay, so we see when you're talking about Beauty and the Beast, when there's that backlash of like, we won't screen this because of the gay character, et cetera. There are a lot of Disney supporters and fans who are queer. So it's like, at what point, it's like, is it going to take us queer people being mad and saying, no, we won't support you for Disney to care? Like, is it gonna, like, until it affects their money, will they care? You know, because that's the thing. It's like, I don't know when we're gonna see change unless we see people reacting that same way on the other side.
Look, they're happy to take queer money. There's a whole subcategory of Disney gays. That's a whole rabbit hole, but there are gays who love Disney. Disney has like Disney World and Disneyland, you know, has Pride Days where it encourages queer people to come visit. So yeah, happy to take their money as long as it's very little effort on their part.
And what's so fascinating, I have a fun fact. I know we're almost out of time, but do you all know why gays historically have always gone to Disney World over the years?
Why is that?
It's because they have that rule where it can only be happy there and there can be no discrimination. So Disney has a very hard and fast rule where the staff cannot be mean to anyone, no matter how they're dressed or how they represent themselves. So that's why it's always been a safe space for queer people to exist, knowing that they wouldn't be reprimanded like in other places for being like, oh, you're being too gay or do this. Like Disney's rule is like, let people be people and we're just here to make them happy. But, you know, that's great, but just make us happy on your films. That's all I'm asking for. All right, well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining us and making this show even gayer today.
Anytime.
All right, that's it for today. Come back and join us tomorrow.
And remember, Dolly Parton will remain a literal angel on Earth forever.
Be sure to subscribe to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you go for your sound stories.
And please take the time to leave us a rating and a review. It helps us figure out what you like about the show versus what you love about the show. And remember to come back for more of what you love about BuzzFeed, coming to you daily.